The show is made possible in part by its supporting sponsors. Blue Otter Power Group of Companies, Joe's Discount Tire, and AskGuy.ca. Never know where I'm going to end up. I know I say that every week, but it's really true. You never know if I'm going to be in a studio or somebody's home or an airplane. We've done that one, right? But this one, it's been a long time coming. I've been saying for a while that, you know, sometimes you meet people in your life and then you don't see them for a while, and then somehow it comes full circle back. And this time it's Roy Cunningham. How you doing, buddy?
Pleasure.
Thanks so much for giving me your time here.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Yeah. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And well, I meant that, right? Like, we would go back quite a few years and then there'd be like a split breakup there.
Just a hiatus. You know?
And then a back. And actually, very interestingly enough, we ran into you, my wife and I rode on the motorcycles in, I don't know, somewhere.
Mountain Forest, it was.
It was Mountain Forest, yeah, that's right. It was like, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's Dave. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's Roy Cunningham.
Yeah, I was looking at you going, that sure looks like Dave. Like, it can't be.
Yeah, we'd both get around, I guess.
Yeah, I was coming back from a gig, and you were coming back from an excursion.
So. Yeah, that's right, that's right. Small world.
Yeah. Right. Crazy.
Let's start. I always, the obvious question is, where are you from originally?
Well, I'm a Toronto boy, born and raised.
Okay.
Probably 2-3 generations all in Toronto.
Yeah.
And then back to England, of course, like most of the early people that have been around here a long time.
You're from England?
I'm not. I was born and raised in Canada. My whole family was.
Okay.
So, and my parents as well. So.
Right. Did you live in England for a while?
No. Never been off the continent.
Really?
No.
Yeah. No family back there? Or?
No. Nothing. By the time that we were around, there was nothing.
Okay.
Nothing that we would have known of.
Did you ever have a desire to go to England just because? No.
I like Canada.
Yeah.
I don't like flying.
You don't. I like Canada, and I don't like flying. What do you like about Canada? Because you don't hear that too often.
No, well, it's it's getting crazy, but it's getting crazy everywhere. And I just like, because you have your freedom, you can do what you want, basically.
Yeah.
You know, within reason. They're taking more of it away, but what are you going to do?
Well, we got to have some governing, though, don't we?
Yeah,
of
absolutely.
Some sort.
Yeah,
can't
you
just let everybody.
No, out. Of course, and it'd just be anarchy. So.
Right. What does freedom mean to you, living here in Canada?
Just, again, being able to do what I want, to be able, you know, earn a living, come and go, play, do what I love, music.
Yeah. Music's a huge part of what this conversation is going to be. And where did music first come into your life?
Wow. Well, I get it from my father.
Yeah?
My father played piano, so just recreationally, you know.
Yeah.
But as long as I've been around, there was a piano in my house.
Yeah.
So I kind of took to it around 6 years old.
Wow.
And
I just never stopped.
Yeah, it was, and all my family played. I'm the youngest of 7 kids, so.
Holy. Wow.
So everybody played piano at one point or another, and I'm the only one that really stuck with it.
Yeah.
My dad really played his whole life. He played stuff like Stardust and, you know, old standards and stuff, and he just had a way of playing, and by that time I wasn't really playing anything of any real consequence. 6-7 years old, you're just kind of learning the ropes. But I used to sit beside my dad all the time and play. And he, most of the time, played like boogie music. And, and it's funny because I don't have a left hand, really.
Okay, okay.
I'm all right hand.
Yeah.
And it's from those years of sitting beside my dad. So I couldn't use my left hand because he was using the left hand.
I was in the way.
And so I would just do this. And it just ended up being that way. And back in those days, of course, you didn't have technology where you could listen to a song and and play at it at the piano. So I had to go up in my bedroom, listen to it, kind of figure it out, and come down and try and play it. Of course, when I come down and try and play it, my brain's not in the actual key. So I'm playing in C, and my brain would just go to C, and I would just play the same, because the intervals are the same, right? It doesn't really matter what key you're playing in. And so I kind of play in C all
the time. So everything's in C.
Yeah. Now technology lets me lie.
Right. Well, you could look at that guitar player and they'd say, what key do you want to do? And say, well, I could do anything, but let's
doesn't
do
matter.
C.
It doesn't matter to me. You just tell me what key it's in and I'm going to make my keyboard adjust.
Right.
So I've played with a lot of bands and I've told a lot of guitar players, don't watch my fingers.
Right.
Because they just, what is he doing?
It's C. It's F and a C.
Yeah, right? They're playing an F and I'm playing a C, but it sounds like an F.
Right.
So then they play a B flat. You know, they play a C and now that's my B flat. And And so it's all just different. But it was easy for me to learn blues music because the intervals are all 1/4/5. So
okay, is that your favorite style to play?
I early days was rock and roll, but I wasn't a great keyboard player back in my mid-teens. It wasn't until I got like 19, 20, and I actually ended up joining a blues band.
Yeah.
The sax player / guitar player quit and left, and I walked on stage and never heard of Buddy Guy or Muddy Waters or any of those cats. Never heard of any. The band was a buddy of mine's sister's boyfriend. He was a guitar player in that. Okay. We were out, so I was out. I was there to watch them play, and the sax player didn't show up. He just booked it for Chicago, and so they said, "Can you come up and play?" And I'm like, "All right, I'll come up and play." And the rest, as they say, is
history.
History,
right? Yeah.
It really
How
is.
Old were you when that happened?
19. 19. So I walked on stage, don't know a blues song out of my wazoo, and I'm learning on the fly.
So you faked it?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, to the sense of like, we're just following along.
Oh, yeah, I faked it. I was late. I mean, that first show, I was late on everything, right? Yeah, so, yeah. Okay, there he is. Okay, there he is.
Yeah.
So, but these guys were university graduates. Mm. So they were well-schooled musicians, and so they started to talk in numbers instead of chords.
Oh.
And they say, play a 4-chord, play a 5-chord. So the interval is the same.
Oh, I see,
so
okay.
Because I'm playing a C all night, I know what my 1/4/5, right, 2 and 6 right. is. It's not changing for me.
Yeah, wow.
So they just get a jam going, and he'd look at me and say, 4. All right, beautiful. And you could get on that
and
a lot
throw
of
your
times.
Own rhythm into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and then later on, you just learn the songs, and
and
the rest is history. And then I just...
So do you play by ear?
Yeah.
Yeah, all ear? Do you read music at all?
I tried to learn to read music, but back in those days, you didn't have technology where you could get something like this. I took music in school, in high school, right? The grade 9, I took saxophone. And I I wish I'd known blues back then because I didn't know what I had in my hand.
Oh, yeah.
I had no appreciation. You're 14 years old listening to Led Zeppelin.
Yeah,
I have no appreciation for the saxophone that I have in my hand, right? None whatsoever. So I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I've got to take music because I'm into music. So I didn't really want to get stuck with the sax. but I was okay at it and whatnot. And I got through it. But I couldn't read music because back those, you had a music stand.
Yeah.
And so for me to see it, because I'm visually impaired,
right.
I got to lean forward to see the notes.
Right.
And then when I lean forward so far, my fingers come off my instrument.
Oh, okay.
So right at that early age, I take the music, I go home and memorize it, come back and play it. And say, you played it perfect, but I'm mad at you because you're not reading the music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I passed.
What does that matter? I'm playing
that's
it.
What I yeah. But he said, it's about sight reading, right? And I said, well, I'm never going to learn to sight read. Right. That requires you to have sight.
Yeah. Couldn't you have picked up on this when I signed up?
So that's where I really started to get really good at being able to just listen to it and figure out the chords and the intervals and what they're doing.
Well, and
it's
worked
that.
For you.
And, oh, yeah.
Have you always been visually impaired?
Yeah, born and raised.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so you learn to adapt.
Well,
so
I don't know any different.
Yeah.
I don't know any different. You get, I had the ridicule like anybody else.
Sure.
With big, thick Coke bottle glasses.
And, yeah.
So you, what?
Yeah.
I didn't know it bother me. Never really did.
Imagine if you had learned the sax though, and that
night
the sax player left.
Oh my gosh. Oh man, what
you
a sax player I could have been.
Right. I think you've done all right with the keyboards. I remember one of the first times I heard you play was a tiny little bar in town, and then when I put on Indie Fest, you were the first act out of all of it.
That's
playing.
Right.
And I just, oh my goodness, wow! And then recently I was at the Moose Lodge, and they were like, "Oh, Roy Cunningham." I'm like, "Roy's playing." Right on. I haven't seen him.
That was when we first ran into each other after all those years.
That's right. And I was like, wow, Roy's, we get him to play here. And I'm like, why? Because I'm a member. I'm like, I didn't.
I play all the time.
Guess I got to read the bulletin. That was great. And so, I mean, obviously, I got to ask the question of, influence. So I'll just get, Elton John and Billy Joel right out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really play a lot of Billy Joel. Just, I don't know. It's just not really conducive to my solo show live. It's great stuff.
You know, one's got to be in
people
there.
People ask, they ask me to do it, and they ask me for Piano Man all the time, but it's long, and it's...
Been there. I've done it 100,000 times.
You know, it's not even that. It's just not an energy song.
Yeah.
And I really don't play low-energy songs in my show.
No. But it's one, you know, they're all going to sing along. It's like an American Pie.
You're right, absolutely. And I don't do that either for, again, seven verses, right?
Right, 8 minutes and 32 seconds.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And it's not that I'm getting bored. I just figure they're getting bored.
Yeah. But if they ask for it,
I know.
It's like that. It's that Mustang Sally
song. Yeah, absolutely. Like, we get it.
Can we please not put that in a set? But you know, it's that Brown Eyed Girl, right?
Yeah,
you got to do it. Margaritaville, especially now.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't. We had a rock band. I had a rock band in Orangeville, and we hosted a jam for about 6 years. The bass player owned the bar.
Okay.
And every Sunday. You got a guy coming out. He comes out every Sunday to sing one song. And what song was that? Mustang Sally.
Yeah, his version?
Well, you know, he was okay. It wasn't really his version because we were the backup band. So it was our version.
It was your way or
with him singing.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, well, Mustang Sally. You know, George is coming out.
Right.
Actually, George Bennett lives here in town, so. He's a Sarnia boy.
Oh, who was it?
George Bennett.
Oh, I know George. Hi, George.
Yeah.
I've known George from quite a young age.
Yeah, so he used to hang out at the bar that we hosted the jam
George
at.
Is great.
So when I moved out of Toronto for the first time, I moved to Orangeville.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What do you like about Sarnia that... How do I ask this question? Like, this is kind of oranges and apples comparing Sarnia to Toronto, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose it is.
But what was the draw to Sarnia?
More has a lot to do with what it doesn't have that Toronto has. Traffic, people, congestion.
Yeah.
I had enough of it. I had enough of it was super getting to busy. The point where by the time I got to work, I was so wound up. That I'm already going to have a bad day.
Wow. And you don't need wounding up.
Right? No, no. No, certainly not. And the place I was working at, I was working 16 hours a day. It was going to kill me. I was going to have a nervous breakdown. So so I threw my keys on the desk and walked away from a high salary job and came down here with no job, no money, no nothing. If it wasn't for the generosity of some friends.
Yeah, I was going to say, so how'd you pull that off?
That helped me out. Well, I had an old boss that helped me out and... Basically, just gave me some money, and so that tied me over. And then I applied for EI, and I quit. I walked away.
Yeah.
I walked out the door and got in the car and drove down here. And every kilometer, I could just feel the stress leaving me. Right. Right?
Yeah, isn't that interesting that I gave up money? I gave up.
I didn't know how I was going to put food in my mouth. Yeah. I didn't know what
but
I was.
But you felt better.
I
by
felt
doing
better.
It. That's
absolutely.
How stressed out
I
you were.
I felt better. But I've been coming down here for like 10 years. I hadn't moved here yet. You know, with playing with.
Yeah.
Dave's band and all that, and so I was coming down here every weekend. Mm. It was to the point where, and I didn't want to leave. And every time I had to go back to Toronto, go to work on Monday, it's like, I don't want to go back there.
Yeah, that's a crappy place to be.
And
right?
It just ate at me all the time. As each year went by, it just ate at me. And then finally, 2016, I just came down here. And then...
It's turned out nice, though.
The first job I applied for, I still work there now. There it is.
Right on. Oh, okay. At Macwell.
Uh-huh.
So are you a welder?
No.
What do you do?
I'm a software developer.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
that's what I... That's kind of... So where are my two loves? Software and music.
Nice.
I'm a computer pinhead, but...
Yeah.
But I'm an old school guy. I grew up... I was fortunate enough to
You're still coding in BASIC?
Yeah. I am in Visual Basic. Yeah. .NET. Yeah.
That's
still
crazy.
Still BASIC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good for you. So, I mean, you're doing what you love. Your software and your music
and I've been very blessed to be able to do
a good time. And you play a lot of gigs around here, but you still travel out of town too to do that, obviously.
Well, the band gigs, I don't get a lot of solo gigs too far out of town anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But we get a lot of band gigs in Hanover and Midland and Wasaga Beach.
Yeah, Now, the solo gig is interesting to me. We were out riding the motorcycles with my family there this past weekend, and we went out to Shale Ridge, and there was just a young girl, you know, maybe 17, 18 years old, just strumming away on the guitar, but singing like, you know, and that can be a tough gig because sometimes people clap.
Yeah.
Because your background music.
Yeah.
And then other times they catch something and you go, oh, and then they really clap. And do you find that with the solo gigs?
I get that. I mean, I'm a little bit different.
You're pretty engaging.
It's just because I'm a single guy up there behind the keyboard
with
this wall of sound coming out at you. Mm-hmm. So it's not just there with a guitar, kind of like the Joan Baez thing. I've got this binary backup band behind me that's just barfing it out, right?
Yeah.
So I there's a lot of times where you don't get crowd response. Mm-hmm. It happens, and I'm like, but I'm not background music.
No, you're not.
Right? And I tell people that hire me, look, if you want Joan Baez in the corner, dinner music, I'm not your guy.
Yeah.
I'm a rock and roll show.
Yeah, you sure are.
I always wanted to actually take it to the, get it to the level where I had full production behind me and all choreographed lights and everything. And I've done all that, but they're just the rooms that don't... Not
all rooms cover
that. Well, it'll be $700, please.
Yeah, right.
Right, you know.
Well, that's interesting you bring that up, because I've asked several local musicians that... like Sue Weber and a few others mm-hmm. that I've interviewed. And I'll ask you the same question. At least in this area, are musicians getting paid their worth? I know that's hard because you don't want to upset anybody that pays you, but...
No, like, but to be honest, I think musicians generally haven't got paid their worth for 50 years.
Yeah.
I can't really speak for here as much as back... I mean, most of my... I played in the blues band for 22 years and it was pretty much $50 a man.
Wow.
That's what it was in Toronto.
That's crazy.
It's just so much competition.
But still, even here, it's like, $100 a guy.
Yeah, that's been that way
30
for...
years that I've
that's
been
that way forever, right?
But back 30 years ago, $100 was a lot of money.
More, exactly.
But it's the same. So how do we change that?
I guess the only real way to change it is for the musicians to all band together and say... you got to be prepared to not work.
Yeah.
I suppose.
You got to learn how to say no?
I guess. And say, yeah, I'm not going to play for $100 a man
and
anymore.
That's why the single gig's right? better.
But sure, because I get paid
more
money.
You got to split it with you and the keyboard.
The places that I play are very generous.
Yeah.
They really are. I honestly have to say, they're very, now, again, I don't play for less than $200.
Right.
Because
and even that I find
But
low.
It's an hour and it's an hour and a half of my time just to set my show up.
Yeah.
I'm not walking in with a guitar, opening the guitar and sitting down.
Well, then, tearing it down, and then most of the gigs are a weekend gig. So giving up time with family.
Yeah, that's true.
Friends. Yeah. Or, hey, you know what? For less than that, I'll just sit home and watch Netflix.
It beats me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, the day after, I'm sorting, I'm hauling speakers and
right.
picking up my keyboard and the gear and the computers and the screens.
Yeah, because you're not 19 anymore, right?
Yeah, no, you got that right. And I feel it.
Yeah, you know? I hear you. But you still do it. You got a really great passion for it. So aside from the Elton John and the Billy Joel obvious influence that every keyboard piano player would have, who else is in there?
Oh, wow, Supertramp for sure.
Yeah, that's right, like, on.
Supertramp is like really high on my list.
Yeah.
The phenomenal band, phenomenal musicians, phenomenal keyboard playing. Like,
yeah.
To understand it as a musician, it's just ridiculous.
I listen to them and still go and close my eyes and go, like, how does any, honestly, any musician, as the karaoke guy I was for 100 years,
yeah.
I never put myself in the same category as a musician, because it's like, how do you get 3, 4, 8 people to play something that comes out and makes me want to go, that sounds like the original, or if it's not, if it's their original, just to go, wow,
what a great
how did they
tune.
Pull that off?
Yeah, and that's what, you look at those bands, like, I'm blown away, but how did you think that up?
Think it before you
How did you
it?
Guys even write that song? It's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, you listen to Boston's first album. It's just, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Especially for the time.
Absolutely.
Of the technology that wasn't there.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? Look at Yes.
Yeah.
This
oh, they're great.
Incredible. Just the writing is just Genesis. The writing is nuts. It's nuts.
Yeah.
And you just, how did you... What were you guys taking that made you think that?
What were you smoking that day?
Like, seriously.
Yeah. Do you write?
I have with the band, with Cold South.
Mm-hmm.
For just because we needed songs, so I just thought, all right, I'll give it a stab. But I don't generally.
No.
I honestly prefer to play cover music because it's just so much more fun and play stuff that people, especially in my solo. So you can't go around and do an original. There's just not a market for it.
Yeah. Well, not maybe here.
And it's not even here. I think it's more of a time. Me, time, age.
Yeah, right.
Okay? Like, I love my band. I like the fact that we do 16 originals and all that, plus a whack load of covers. But to be truthfully honest with you, it's not a market for that cover, for that original music.
Yeah.
That ship sailed.
Do you throw one in once in a while in the show?
Well, in my solo show, almost never.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I really go out of my way to find songs that you would not expect somebody to play.
Yeah. Like what?
Well, you know, I'll do Colin James music with the little big band stuff.
That's awesome.
I love big band music. My parents, my dad could whip my mom around.
You mean like the Glenn Miller?
Yeah.
Type
oh,
stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, you get that swing music going, and yeah. I'm telling you, man, I don't know how they catch each other.
Right. Well, you wouldn't want to
miss it. The way he'd fling my mom around, if he missed her, she's going 20 feet. She's taking a spell.
A lot of
and
trust
just to watch
that.
Them and. Close friends of mine, their parents too, same thing. They could just whip each other around that dance floor, and I just love the horns. It's just incredible. Yeah. The power, the crescendos.
It hits you right in the
Yeah, it does. It just yeah. And I was fortunate enough to go see Brass Transit when they were at the Imperial
wow,
Theater.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a Chicago cover band. Yeah. And they melted my head.
Yeah.
That was the best. Honestly, I've seen a lot of concerts in Toronto, and I've seen Van Halen. I've seen,
yeah.
You know, I've seen Floyd. I've seen the Stones. That band right there, Brass Transit, was the best show I've ever seen in my life.
Wow, that says a lot.
It's just, they were just so good. I tell you, go see them. Go find where they're playing and go see Brass Transit.
Okay.
If you like Chicago, that you close your eyes and you cannot. That was Chicago on that stage.
Is that right?
100%.
And that, like, that's hard to duplicate.
Absolutely.
You mean, you even think, you mentioned like Pink Floyd in there, and I think Pink Floyd, I've seen one Pink Floyd tribute band, and I was completely impressed on...
That's hard to duplicate, too.
Well, especially with, like, all the female vocals that are in it, and the precisionness of that sound, that bell, everything
absolutely.
Has to come in, or it just
that's
ruins
right.
that whole thing, right? To the triangles, and... But Chicago, and I've seen Chicago twice in
oh,
my
really?
Life.
Oh, wow.
And they were just...
Nah, it's just ridiculous.
So for you to say that...
Yeah.
Wow.
Ridiculous. And so, and then I'm like, okay, well, I got to throw some Chicago tunes into my show.
Yeah.
But it's not
I'm
easy
still trying to figure out what 25 or 64 means.
I don't know. I think I looked it up once and I don't remember.
I think it was a drug-related
maybe.
Something, 25 or 64. I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll never know.
I don't know.
Nobody's
and of
ever
course,
mentioned.
I'm not singing Peter Cetera songs.
So oh,
I'm
yeah.
I'm singing the other guys.
Yeah, right, you know, right. That's
I'm,
cool.
I'm
and you mentioned Genesis in there, too. Like, that's... Because I remember, you know, the time of them, time of them coming out. Like, I first learned of them in the 80s,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, then, stuff earlier, like with Peter Gabler in the early days, that's whacked out stuff.
Yes.
That's whacked out stuff. I'm still impressed by the writing, but it's whacked out stuff.
Yeah. And then Phil came along.
Yeah, and then once Phil took over. And it's funny because I don't think they really wanted to go that direction. The record company kind of come out. So, you don't have any girls coming to your shows. You don't have any girls buying your albums.
Yeah.
You need to write a couple of songs where you're going to attract girls and, of course, Follow You, Follow Me, and then some of the misunderstanding and Turn It On Again stuff, some of that stuff, which is a little more melodic for it. It's just a little more closer to home.
Yeah.
Genesis music. And, of course, Phil kind of just pushed it that way with his natural progression, too.
Right.
So I was a big, huge Phil Collins fan, too.
Were you sad when it just became Phil and no more
Genesis?
No,
not really. I probably didn't even really appreciate Genesis until after.
Right, until
all
after.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. He was in the 80s and even into the 90s.
Nah,
I've never heard another artist duplicate anything close to what he did with his voice.
Yes.
And then the drums.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Never mind the drums, right?
Absolutely.
You know? I think his son tried, but that didn't go so well.
But yeah, he's just fabulous.
Yeah. What is it that excites you most about playing? Like, what's the why behind it?
You know, it's funny. Like, we were talking earlier about all the work that goes into to getting set up to play a show.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the band, you know, I mean, all the speakers that you got to bring and set the whole front of the house up, you got to do all that, you get and all that, and learn all that music, and the tens and 20 and 30,000 hours that you spend practicing. And I mean that. I'm talking
literally
40,000 hours of real time in my life playing. It's just like, why do I bother anymore? Because the first 30 seconds I get on stage and start that song, it's like I'm at Maple Leaf Gardens. My brain just goes, I'm lost in the music. You have to love the music. If you don't do it for the love of that music, then you're doing it for no other.
Love on for being on stage?
Yeah, I get itchy when I'm not.
Yeah.
I get itchy. It's just something about performing. It's a whole other
level. Is it a control thing? And I don't mean like a control, like I'm going to control
no,
you.
No, that's not.
It's like
it's, it's, you got to be a little cocky.
You do, don't you?
Because if you go up there scared, going, "Oh, I hope they like me. Oh, I hope I'm good enough," then it's going to show in your performance.
It will, won't it?
I go up there and I'm going to kick your butts.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you guys stand up and go, "Whoa, that guy's playing music."
Yeah.
Right?
And you do.
You have to. You have to. I'm not even going to, if I don't enjoy it and I don't have fun doing it, you're not going
to
have fun.
I go back to the Moose the one time I saw that you were there. Another time that I didn't know you were there, and I happened to be there doing something else, Roy's playing in there, and I'm like, what? We were doing something in the back room. Mm. Roy's playing. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, hey guys, we got to come out and sit down for a bit, and then I think the girls wanted to go shopping or something. Yeah. And I was like, no, or go ahead and leave me here, like whatever. And then as they started listening more, they were like, whoa, he is rolling in. That song I haven't heard anybody do in a long time, right?
So I like to find those little one-hitters.
Yeah. How do you find them?
YouTube? I actually sit down and I'll just come up with artists. And I'll just try and go after artists. Or I'll search like one-hit wonders of the 70s. And I'll just Google that kind of stuff. And go find something. One of the songs I do is a Stanford Townsend Band song. It's Smoke from a Distant Fire. And it's a one-hit, they're one-hit wonder band from the 70s, and I come across them on YouTube, just flipping around where it come up, and it was a Midnight Special show.
Oh, yeah, right, the Midnight Special.
And so here they are, and a tune just blew me away. It's like, wow, that's great. I wonder if I can find a version of that. And, of course, naturally, I did. So, yeah. And that's a hard song to sing. A lot of the songs that I put in my show, I put in because they're hard.
Yeah.
Steely Dan is hard.
Yeah, you stretch it, though, right? And that when... You challenge yourself that
way,
right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And then when it comes out friggin' awesome.
Well, and every time I do that one song, it's like, well, I better hit that note.
Yeah, here we go.
Hope my voice is ready for it. Yeah. You take that big breath. And there's times where I'll come under. I'm just like, I'm not going to hit it today, and I'll go underneath it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But I don't...
You got to do some white snake for that stuff.
No, that requires kicks in the genitals and stuff.
Right. I heard that song today and I went, yeah. I don't know. There's only one guy I know that's ever, at least done it on karaoke and pulled it off. That was Ed Brennan.
Yeah, Ed's got a great... He's got a rock and roll voice.
Right? Yeah.
He's got a rock and roll
You've played
voice.
With a lot of different people over the years. Anybody... And I know you appreciate everybody you play with, but I mean anybody like... stand out a name like a famous a celebrity or just anybody that you played with maybe you were surprised by or
not really I haven't played with a whole whack load of people playing in blues the same blues band for
right.
22 years
yeah, I suppose,
same,
right.
same four guys when I moved to Orangeville and it's funny because I went to the bar because I wanted to get a solo gig there and my solo show When Blues Band finally packed it in, that's where the solo show came from because I couldn't put another band together and it's like, oh, I'm going to make my own band.
Right.
And when I first started doing it, I was just doing it in my cousin's backyard. Mm-hmm. We just had friends and family over and I'd set up and play and he'd sing some songs too. So, and when I did it in a bar a couple of times, it was early days and this one guy came up and he said, you know, you're like karaoke on steroids.
Right.
And I've never forgot that.
Yeah.
And that's really what my show is. It's karaoke on steroids.
Yeah, yeah. Because you use some backtracking.
It's all backtracking.
Yeah, you don't hide that.
No, of course not.
Your keyboard playing is the lead singer, I guess, if you will.
I have to do something.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just karaoke.
Yeah.
Regardless of all the energy you can bring. Hey, if I went out and did karaoke, you know, it's going to be a big difference than anybody else that's walking 100%. Out there to do karaoke because I'm gonna give it to you, right?
Yeah,
it's all a matter of approach. But you gotta do your homework. you got to know the song so well that I don't think. And then they say, my band's always the same.
Yeah, yeah. I used to say that when I sang karaoke.
Yeah, they're never going to play CD. It different.
No, it was a CD then.
Yeah, they're never going to play it different. They don't screw up. That's the same every time.
So I better not screw up.
Yeah, right. You know, you get to know that track so well, you know the little hitches, the nuances in it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I do School by Supertramp, and there's a spot in there that if you're not paying attention to a little hitch in there, because there's no time. It's not like somebody sitting there doing
right.
in that little dead spot where you hear the student scream and then the song kicks in. And if I don't hear it, I'm done. I'm late.
Yeah.
So I'm really listening for this little hitch that's in that song that's kind of silent. And if you're in a room where everybody's kind of into what you're doing, you can hear it. But when they're all talking and it gets to that spot and it's quiet, I'm like, oh, I can't hear it. I'm going to be late for sure. And sure enough, I'm like a half a second behind the phrase.
We'll just fake it through.
Yeah.
Just
catch up and go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that comes from years of playing on stage. You just learn.
For sure.
You learn how to gracefully make mistakes and not have people notice them.
Well, making mistakes is, that's part of the success of a lot of things, right?
Absolutely.
But when it's a performance, I mean, you've done the rehearsal, then the performance comes. Like, you really do expect that to be perfect.
Oh, I do, every time. I expect me to sing the song right all the time, the words right. I have a screen on front of me with the words there.
Yeah.
And it's not because I need to look at them, it's because I'm old and I'm going to forget the third verse. And I'm going to... I've done it on stage with my blues band. You're 12 bars into a 16-bar solo. You got 4 bars left, and I had no idea what the third verse is. It's not coming to me. It's not in my head. I have no idea. 3 bars, 2 bars, 1. Oh, there it is. And it just, it'll magically pop in just before I got to open my mouth.
Right.
And there's been times where I've been caught. There's been, the singer in my blues band before I was singing, he'd just make up words.
Yeah.
And he'd just pull it off. He just, that wasn't, nothing. A lot of people don't know.
Well, you know, depending on what time of night it is.
Yeah, well, that too.
You can do the third first.
Yeah, you could. And nobody would know the difference. That's for sure. But so I have them there just so all you got to do is a little glance over that first line and you're in.
I did that all the years with karaoke.
Well, that's what it is.
Well, you don't look at the screen. And I'm like, I'm glancing at it for a few words.
Yes,
and then when I get the cue, okay, now I'm not looking. But it was like a security blanket.
It is. It's an emergency blanket.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm fortunate enough being a software developer that I just wrote my own software on stage, so everything's there, and
right,
it's all
right.
At the tap of a button, and it's all in sync. And
yeah, really, the software you use is all something you developed.
Yeah, I wrote so the words are there automatically, and they go with the song. So
is it like on an iPad or something?
Yeah,
or
so
you do.
I just did a full size screen or a small one, a little iPad. It's all PC driven now. We used to be iPad for years, but I find the wireless technology kind of
lets you got
down.
Like a mini PC on there.
Yeah,
yeah, cool.
Yeah.
How do you think you'd be doing now, or how would you pull it off if you didn't have that technology backing you up? Like, not to take away from your talent as a keyboard player by any means.
I'd have to get a band.
Yeah.
I'm not a lounge player. Yeah. So I can't just sit there on a piano and go sit there and with a cigarette there. And
so you're not the piano.
No, absolutely. I'm not that kind of player. I'm not.
You don't want to be.
I don't know. It has a lot to do with no left hand.
Yeah. Way to go, Dad.
And could I have spent all those years getting my left hand going? Sure, I could have. But you know what? I was in a blues band.
But you use it.
I use it for four finger chords. Yeah, I use it for.
And my dad played like that for years.
And that's why this hand flies. This hand just, sometimes, I don't even know half the time. I can go up and down the keyboard and not even know half the notes I hit.
Yeah. You like ragtime too, eh?
Yeah.
Is it because it's so fast?
It's not, it's just that style of music, right?
Yeah.
Bluegrass is just incredible. It doesn't even have to be piano-based music. Like, you listen to fiddle players and mandolin players and bluegrass, and it's just ridiculous.
Have you ever thought, you know, fiddle and violin... you know, that's kind of popular around Sarniax. There's a few great players.
Yeah, there is.
I always think of Caitlin Mason.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought of adding something into it? Or are you just happy?
I've actually thought about getting a guitar player. You know, in today's technology, you can really do a good job stripping out guitar tracks out of those tracks as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not like karaoke songs where they just remove the vocals and everything's there and you can't change
one channel,
that, right?
Yeah.
So there's technologies coming out where you can actually take the guitar out. There's companies out there that actually make songs purposely that allow you to do that. You got to pay for it and pay for the licensing because you got to legally. But I figure it's worth the money because it's making me money. Yep. So do your due diligence, pay your license fees, and use the songs, right? So I thought about it, having a guitar player there, and be nice to have. But then it's like, all right, now I'm just gonna want to start a band.
Right.
If I had my way, I'd be in a band all the time. If my band was busy enough.
But then you're making less.
I wouldn't, but I'd still have more fun.
Yeah.
It's way more fun to play without a human being.
So there it is, right? To go back to that conversation of, well, you know, I think I should get paid more, but it's a lot of fun, so I'll do it, right? And that's...
It really is.
That's hard to say no.
Especially when I know that I can come out there and do something and people stand up and take notice.
Yeah.
And they appreciate what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And, you know.
What else have you done besides, I'm going to try to steer him away from the music a little bit, but is there anything else you've done that besides the software and the music that you're like, I really enjoyed that? Has that just all been?
No, really not since, you know, I mean, I like hockey, I like baseball. But
oh, yeah, sports guy.
I watch, of course.
Yeah.
I don't play it. I mean, I did back when I was young and played baseball and hockey and stuff, but by the time music took a hold of me where I was doing it professionally, that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. I mean, I love my IT. My job is there primarily because it has to be, because music's not going to pay those bills.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Did you ever at one point think music would?
No.
No? Okay.
No,
well,
no.
That's an honest answer.
No, absolutely not.
No?
I didn't even chase it.
Were you a partier when you were younger? Yeah. Like, you partied with it and...
I mean,
it goes along with it a lot of times.
Yeah, but not by the time I started playing. It, really, in the early days, I was drinking, and I remember we did a private gig at this place down at Bathurst and College, I think it was. And we rented this room, and I spent the money, and I bought the beer, and I bought the kegs. Well, my guitar player decided he's going to roll the kegs down the hallway.
Oh!
So he rolled both the kegs down the hallway. Well, now it's all foam.
Right.
So I've got 160 people at this party that all paid, and then nobody's drinking the kegs.
Oh, boy.
They're all drinking the bottled beer, and they're drinking the booze. But nobody's drinking the kegs, and I paid for them. I'm drinking the kegs.
Oh, boy.
So I'm dumping it into a pitcher, putting my fist down there, getting the head to go away, topping her up. And by the third set, we went on stage, and they had this hall had a B3 Hammond organ there, the real deal, with the Leslie and everything. So I'm up there, and my guitar player reached across the stage, and he just grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and went, "You're playing in the wrong key!" That was the last time I drank.
Is that right?
That was the last time I drank on stage. I've never done it.
You don't drink anymore now?
I don't know. No. I mean, I have a beer every 6 months, and if it's just somebody, you know, gives me a beer, I feel obliged to kind of drink it. And half the time, it's half of it. That was good, yeah. This is not my thing, so.
That was an aha moment for you then.
Oh, for sure. Oh, absolutely. And it's just, you know, do you want to take it seriously, or do you want to just go up there and be a hack?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I don't want to be a hack.
Good for you.
I spent too much time to not be a hack.
How many years ago was that, you think? That 40? Long ago.
40? 40,
yeah. Let's talk more about technology. I mean, like, do you record stuff?
I mean, we did with the original music that we wrote for the band and stuff like that. I don't record my shows really very often. I did a few broadcasts when COVID was rampant.
Yeah,
everybody was staying home.
Yeah.
So I did a couple of broadcasts.
What was that like?
It was fun, but it was weird because I'm in my little room by myself. The camera's there, so I know people are watching. I mean, it wasn't many.
Yeah, but
it's not like it wasn't still... CBC here.
No,
you know,
should have done comedy.
I had a few friends watching, and it was like, yay, right on. But you know what? I remember thinking to myself, I still got to give them a show. And so, I mean, when I rehearse like I'm playing because you have to, because if you're not going to do it.
There's always 400 or 4,000 or whatever out there. And if there's four people in the room, they deserve the show.
Absolutely. It was packed, absolutely. Right? And even if there's nobody in the room.
That's hard, right?
Because it's tough sometimes.
Something about that, being on stage, there's an energy. that you just
absolutely when they're into it. There's no, that's why I love being on stage, is because when you get that energy back from them, that just it just launches you, and your playing just goes exponentially up because they're bringing it out of you, right? And there's time, you know, when they're not and nobody's really paying attention, you still do what you do. It's kind of, you kind of go into paid rehearsal mode sometimes, right? I mean, you do.
Yeah. It's tougher.
There was, I can't count how many gigs we played downtown in downtown Toronto, right down in Bay Street, and playing for the bartender. She was the only one there.
Yeah. Have you ever bombed?
No.
No. I can't see you bombing.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Do you think you could do comedy? You could do stand-up comedy?
I don't know, maybe.
You kind of touched on that years ago, didn't you?
Yeah,
with an alter ego?
Yeah, yeah, well, that was just, you know.
He's like, oh, he's got to bring that up.
I think...
what was it, Gary?
Yeah, that's what it's saying. I think
he was on the show for a while.
That's right.
And then we canceled him before I got canceled.
He was cut. I think that was just, I think might have been a little midlife crisis going on there. That wasn't that. It was, I'm a goofy guy.
It was fun.
That was. I'm a goofy guy.
Every week, I have to go back and look at that. Gary
Ward, it was.
Gary Ward, that's right. Even had a Facebook account.
Yeah. One time. Yeah, I don't even know how to get into
People
it.
People were like, who's the guy you're putting on the show? I'm like, Gary Ward. They're like, no, who is it really? I'm like, it's Gary Ward.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I can't tell them who it is.
Yeah, it was, it was like, how stupid can one person possibly be?
I thought it was hilarious.
Right? Well, it was just pure stupidity.
It was fun.
And it was all out of... It was just right out... I was out of my ass, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was just...
See, the thing is, or something like that. Yeah, Gary had a word. You could have been like that. What's his name? Man on the Moon guy.
Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman, yeah. And his the alter ego.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Was that what Gary was to you?
It was me being stupid.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. It's just trying to. How stupid can you be?
I think that was one of the sayings that Gary said. How stupid can you be?
Or you can't fix stupid, you know, right, whatever. Yeah. But
what's? Let me try to get personal with you now. Like you just got married.
Yep.
And before that in life, you had relationships and they didn't work out.
No, I had a couple.
Yeah.
So I didn't. I mean, music didn't really. Y'all think rock and roll's rock and roll, eh? No, it's not.
Yeah.
No.
What do you mean?
Okay, you don't just get in a band and then you get all kinds from everywhere. It doesn't happen.
Right, right.
Okay?
Right.
You go home at night at the end of it and you see all nice looking women that aren't with you. Okay? So.
Yeah. Would you say that, but where you are now, and we're in Sarnia, in your home, and you just got married back August
19th.
Congratulations, by the way. And I have to tell you, I saw you out somewhere. And congratulated you, and you were like, oh, maybe it was at the Moose at that gig, and you said, and I'm playing my own gig.
That's right. I'm playing my own wedding.
I'm like, you can't do that. And
yes,
you were
I
like,
did.
Watch me.
Yes,
and you
did
it.
I did. I had both my band and my solo
show. So, and where was your wife?
Susan, she was there. She was the one. She was all for it.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah, she loved it.
So you didn't have to go around and say hi to everybody then?
Oh, I did. I did before I got out of the monkey suit. Because I told her, I'm not playing in the tux.
Yeah.
Now there'll be none of that.
Yeah.
So
And it turned out to be a nice day.
Yeah, it was beautiful. The day was beautiful. The wedding was perfect. Everything was perfect. Like, it just couldn't have went any better. Yeah. My cousin married me.
Nice.
So that was incredible. So.
Yeah. And where did you and Susan meet?
We met here... in Sarnia, obviously, I played a gig out at the Milltown Barn out there.
Oh, yeah.
In Lackey. And she had come out with, because the bass player's girlfriend and her are
lifelong
friends, since high school.
So was this a setup?
So she was there. I don't know, it wasn't. And in fact, when I inquired about Susan, both the bass player and his girlfriend said, "Yeah, she's not interested in anybody. Don't waste your time."
Oh, really? And then you went, "Really?"
I just went, "All right, that's fine." I just took them for their word and just left it alone. And then a week later, she just gave me a thumbs up on Facebook. And I just chatted and said, hi, how's it going? And then we chatted for a couple of days, and or actually probably about a week, week and a half. And I took her out on the date, and as they say, the rest is history. History.
Good for you. Good for you. So how long have you been together, total?
Just over 3 years.
Yeah. See, I ask those questions, guys go, geez, I hope I get this right.
Yeah, absolutely. I had to think for a second.
Don't ever forget the anniversary.
Well, it's we actually went on our first date in September 19th, which is her birthday.
Oh.
And so getting married August 19th kind of pounds it in my head now, so it's nice.
Yeah. Well, you know how you never forget an anniversary? Forget it once.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I won't be allowed to. That's not going to happen. She'll be telling me 3 days before.
Right. Reminding you. So, just saying.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly. You can tell your happiness. It really comes out in you. And I know, knowing you for many years, I really see a difference.
Well, that's good.
And in a positive way.
I'm blessed. Know? I am. I really am truly blessed. I hear you. I'm blessed. I'm lucky. I don't even call it lucky. I call it blessed because it's not luck. It's the good Lord above, man. Yeah. It's not luck.
Yeah. Good for you for saying that out loud, too, and sharing.
Absolutely.
It's a great place to be. What about, let's talk about the future now as far as music goes. Do you have... Have you got any hidden projects you can reveal, or is there a list of things to do before I die that you got to do?
I just get some more music in. I mean, it's crazy. I've got 300 and change songs in my repertoire, but you can't do that many.
No.
But I'd like to change it up because some of it's getting boring for me too. And I've actually heard some people say, you know, add some music,
time
in,
to change
some different
it up.
Stuff.
Well, you got to stay relevant, right?
Well, yeah. I mean. The stuff I do really isn't today music anyway, right? So it's not a relevancy factor from that.
Well, you've got a certain demographic.
Oh, absolutely. Our demographic's getting less and less.
Right.
which is something that you have to be aware of too, right? I'm playing classic rock.
Yeah.
And like old school country. Yeah. Not old school country, but Garth Brooks, Tim McGraw.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Older before.
No Hank in there?
I should.
Yeah.
Even Hank Jr.
Give me some Hank and some Merle.
Yeah,
and,
but that's,
and
that, again.
You know, whiskey songs.
Yeah,
man.
I
that's
know.
It, right?
I'd love to. First, it's hard for me to sing that low.
Yeah.
And again, it's a lot of the stuff's pretty crying your beer low energy. Yeah. I don't play crying my beer country music.
Yeah.
I play country music. It's got some.
Oh, you do. Like Hank Jr. You get all my rowdy friends are coming over.
Yeah, but I would pick other songs like "Born to Boogie."
Right. For sure.
Something that's got energy. Just because I don't know. Maybe I should play more slow songs. I don't know.
I've always wanted to hear somebody, a gentleman I knew, back in the karaoke days, a long time ago. His name was Hank, and passed a few years ago. But he always did a song called "Devil with the Blue Dress," Good Golly Miss Molly.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's one I've never heard a keyboard, and that's kind of an organ thing, I guess.
Well, it is.
I've never heard anybody on keyboard play that.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Challenge.
All right, I'll add her to the show.
I know you can pull it off.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I know the version you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Steve Winwood doing it or...
I don't know.
But I know the song with the two songs there. I know. Yeah. I've heard it, and so...
Yeah. Have you ever, like, taken... Do you do medleys at all? Like, where you take a little piece of all and then make it your own?
I tried to do a couple, but I didn't like the quality of the tracks.
Yeah. Right. You're using tracks, so then you'd have to splice that all together.
Well, I didn't have to do the splicing. They'd done it for me, but I didn't... There's a lot of songs that I'd love to do, but I can't find a good enough version.
Gotcha. I know what you
mean. And I'm not going to go up there and do cheese.
Yeah.
I just won't do it. I'm not going to do the
karaoke is like that. People
it's
say,
exactly
can you
same.
Give me the DK version or the
Absolutely,
Sound Choice
because
version?
It's a big difference.
It's a huge difference.
Right?
Yeah, it's not the same.
There's some that are just, and then there's some that are, that's what I'm talking
some
about.
Like, sound like a MIDI keyboard.
Yeah, exactly. Or the drums are horrible because they're MIDI drums and they didn't do it right.
Yeah.
But there, again, people got to understand that you're not allowed to actually copy it exactly.
No, that's right.
You've got to change something.
Yep.
So you can do it, but you got to change it a little. So the guitar solo can't be exact and things like that.
Yeah, copyright laws and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Good for you for following that because I think it's easy to, I can get away with it. Who's gonna know and whatever? But to pay the licensing or whatever, you as a musician, if you wrote a song,
you'd
want your 5 cents every
Absolutely.
Time it played. So why not return it, right?
Absolutely. I'm sure Kim Mitchell still gets a pretty big check at his door once a month.
Well, I'd like to think so, right?
It might be, might be not what it used to be, but
It's something.
Good for him. He deserves every penny he gets.
Yeah.
You know?
You're a Kim Mitchell fan, are you?
I like Webster, Kim Mitchell, all that stuff. All that classic 70s stuff that all my sisters and brothers turned me on.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up then.
No.
I was 10 in 76.
No, I was same thing. Like, I was in high school.
Right.
High school, like 80s, right? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And we were listening to Zeppelin.
Yeah, but by then, Zeppelin was gone.
Yeah, for a long time.
Right? So our exposure into it was all after the fact.
Yeah.
You know, Pink Floyd had how many albums out by the time we started getting turned on to the Floyd and the Stones
Right?
Yeah. We didn't grow up with it like my sisters did. Yeah. They're listening to Stone's first album on the radio.
Yeah.
Right? By the time we got around, it's like getting 1980, so Tattoo U's coming out. That's what, like 12th, 13th album then?
Does it keep you young, Rory?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
keeps you down?
Absolutely.
Do you miss high school?
No. I guess I should say, what I miss about high school is just the time. Just to go back and I miss not having bills and not having responsibility.
Right.
I miss that.
4 years of whining about what you really didn't want to happen.
Absolutely, right? I miss...
Well, I can't wait to get out of here.
Yeah, I miss not having to worry about now.
Yeah, I remember. I moved out when I was really young because I knew everything and wanted to pay my own bills.
Yeah. Life smacks you in the head real quick, doesn't it?
Sure does. Right? A couple of times.
Absolutely. I was lucky. I never moved out of my parents till I was into my 30s. So.
Oh, wow. How's your parents doing? Are they both here?
Yeah, no,
They both passed?
They both passed, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Dad's about 13 years now. Oh, okay. Mom 10, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
How did that affect you?
Having a big family is huge.
Yeah.
So thank God for them.
Mm-hmm. You still talk to...
Oh, yeah.
You're close with your family? Yeah.
Blessed.
That's tough because you don't get to pick your family. That's tough sometimes.
We're blessed. We're close. I give any one of my cousins, even my cousins, I give them my last nickel.
Yeah.
Without question.
Yeah. That's a great place to be.
We didn't have to have friends.
Because you were such a big family.
No, we had seven kids and my mom's sisters, they had seven and four and five and they were always together. My mom's sisters always hung out. So when they hung out, all the kids hung out.
Are you in the middle or the youngest?
I'm the youngest.
Yeah,
I'm the youngest of seven.
You take advantage of that once in a while?
I probably did back in the day, so they tell me.
So they say.
Yeah, that's
right. Sure, you got away with everything. Yeah.
I don't feel like I got away with it.
No.
I probably did.
Were your parents strict?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, my dad got involved when, Jack, get up here and straighten these kids out before I kill one of them, so.
Yeah.
But my mom was a disciplined hander at her, and she didn't have to do it because she just knew better.
Right.
I mean, I got whacked.
Don't mess
I got
with
whacked
mom.
Lots of times, and I deserved every blasted one of them.
Yeah.
And I thank God for every blasted one of them.
You think that's changed?
Oh, absolutely. It's darn near legal.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much is.
And
are we too easily offended, Roy?
Absolutely.
We weren't before?
No.
No?
No.
Even when...
The world was different back then because now, if you go... Your neighbor's not going to go grab your son and bring him home to you and say, hey, your boy was this, your boy was that. And in fact, back in our day, if your neighbor straightened you out...
You thanked him.
You thanked him.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't, what do you do? Don't you have no right to do that to my son? It was, thank you for straightening. Hey, what are you doing? Why is the neighbor having to straighten you out?
Yeah. And that's changed.
It's respect.
Yeah. Right?
It really, it's just respect. Nobody has respect anymore.
Is it going to go too far, or has it already gone too far that it'll start? Well, do you think it'll start to come back the other way?
No. Sadly.
We've gone too past that.
Without getting too crazy, yes, it's the way it's supposed to happen.
Right.
It's just happening the way it's
what do you mean?
Gonna happen. Wow.
Supposed to go the direction we are?
Yeah.
Supposed to get worse?
Yeah.
Are you speaking from the
good
book?
Good book says that.
Yeah.
So it seems to be that...
You're a man of faith, obviously.
That's what you see.
Yeah. Interesting.
The wall's black, you call it black, it's black.
Right.
The wall's purple, and you call it purple, it's purple.
Yeah.
There it is.
Interesting.
Why is everybody so offended? Right is wrong, and wrong is right now. Up is down, down is up.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's twisted.
Didn't think I'd see that in our day.
Well, yeah, we've always said that probably since we were younger, saying, oh, that, yeah, but not in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Well, sooner or later, it's got to happen in somebody's lifetime. And now it's happening here, right?
Yeah, it's just the world itself, right? It's crazy. It's messed up. Nobody cares about anybody anymore. All they care about is themselves.
You think that?
I don't think it's everywhere. I think there's still all kinds of great, good people on this planet, right? On planet Earth. But it's getting less.
Yeah. Interesting. What's is there? So how do we get beyond it?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. If I had the answer to that,
because you're a caring guy. I believe that you're a caring guy. You help people. I've seen you help people out.
Absolutely.
From afar, I'm watching. Oh, there's and that's good. So yeah, we need more Roys then.
Well, you gotta care about other people first. That's really what you gotta do.
Pay it forward, all that stuff. Yeah.
Right.
So what's the next gig coming up?
Oh, what's today? Wednesday? So
well, something like that. Well, this is Wednesday. Pre-recorded live, but I mean, in the future, in town, you got some gigs?
Yeah, Ups and Downs.
Nice.
Out to Grog's a couple times.
Oh, yeah. How do you like playing out there?
I like Grog's. A lot of fun. Grog's, yeah.
Yeah, you get a different
crowd. I mean, it's getting cold now, so we'll be inside.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
But yeah, I love playing out there.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. The food's great, and people are fabulous. And
yeah.
Yeah, I really like playing out there.
Right. Do you have a Facebook page where people can see where you're playing, or how do we find out?
I have a website, but I never keep it up to date. I'm so busy that I'm so busy playing. You want to sign up for the gig?
Right.
I need somebody to manage my marketing.
Yeah, I'm not busy. Well, but personally, you're on Facebook though, right?
Yeah.
People can see stuff there.
Yeah, they can look me up.
Check
it
out. Right. And, Roy Cunningham.
I think Susan does a better job of it for me than. than I do because
and she's working right now, so we got the house to herself. But aside from the cats,
I inherited the cats.
Good for you.
But she'll she posts when I'm playing.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so she'll just make a post on her Facebook that I'm playing here and playing there. Right. I know I should, but
it's hard to keep up that social
media. I'm a weird guy because I know, like, I got a buddy of mine that comes out and he barks at me because I don't put a tip jar out all the time.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know. I'm one of those believers that if I'm doing an outside gig for myself, I'll put a tip jar out there. But if you hire me to play, I'm getting paid already.
Yeah, I hear you.
But I get it too. Like
that's one of those debatable topics, right?
Like, I know. And
there's a tip jar. Jeez, they're not paying him enough.
Yeah, and that's not what it
no,
is.
No, bonus.
Right?
I get it because I've been around that, but. And I don't mind throwing in a whatever I've
got.
Hey, right on there.
And I so appreciate when people do. There's times I've made $400 in a tip jar.
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate it, but loonies. I don't expect it. And, so I don't.
Put it out, Roy. I say put it out.
Yeah.
They will or they won't.
Yeah, that's true. No, you're right. They don't have to.
That's right. They will.
It's not expected. And that's what worries me about. I don't want them to think that I expect them to because it's there.
Yeah. We don't. Nobody likes to ask for money.
Right.
That's what you feel like you're
for
money.
If I wasn't getting paid, then I'd be shaking it.
Yeah. Going, hey, girls, get over here.
Ding, ding, ding.
You next. Hey. Yeah, pass it around. Right? Yeah, I got you. Cool stuff. Roy, this has been so much fun.
Thanks, man.
And I know you're one of those ones we could keep going for hours, but even the internet only wants me to go so long.
Yeah,
so
that's great,
this
man.
Has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's good to see you, and thanks for having me on. And
absolutely. I think it's long overdue.
It's always a pleasure.
It was years ago that we did it, and I the other day I was sitting around, and I make a list, and I go, Roy, why wouldn't I interview him? So that's why we're here. Thanks
Beautiful.
Again, buddy.
No problem.
Thanks
man.
To all of you for watching.
Thank
As
you.
Always, click the like and the love, but the share button. That's the one we want you to click so we can share Roy's story here today and everybody else that gets interviewed here on the show. But right now, that's all the time I got for you this week. Have a great week and an even better weekend. We'll see you next time right here in the show. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
And that's a wrap.